Fun Fly Zone is where we are, and Tim Bogenhagen is helping me out today. Talk to some really cool people about some really cool toys. I call them toys because this is Toyland down here, and there's a lot of really neat toys.
There really are. You know, these are all just toys to us, but it's recreational, and recreation is good, right? I mean, we all got to recreate some way. We just want to recreate in three dimensions.
That's
right.
There's
nothing like three dimensions, is there?
That's right. Who do we have with us now, Tim?
We have the Roto Trek people.
Roto Trek.
Who broke a wonderful, just innovative, interesting helicopter to Oshkosh.
And Mark Rumsey, and did I say that right?
That's correct.
Mark Rumsey, and Miro Cerv.
Cerv.
From Slovenia.
Cerv, yes.
Cerv. All right. Tell us about your helicopter. I drove by and I went, holy cow, look at that.
We had to
thing.
Take a second look.
Yeah,
didn't we?
Where's the tail
like a
rotor?
Second take, like, what? What's that? What? No, that can't be.
The first, so, yeah, describe it.
The first thing that people say is, oh my gosh, it's a coaxial. And because coaxial just doesn't really exist in North America. And so that's the first thing they notice. And they're like, oh, no tail rotor, just like what you said. So that's the first thing they say. And
tell our listener what coaxial means.
So coaxial, counter-rotating.
Counter-rotating.
Essentially, it's two rotors, one above each other, that counter-rotate. And that takes all the torque out of the system of the rotors. So it makes it actually easier to fly than a regular helicopter.
Wow. Logistically, though, it sounds complicated to have two rotors turning opposite directions from the same power plant.
Yes. You actually do have two rotor heads. Well, technically, you have two rotors, and then you also have a taller mast because you need space between those rotors. But Miro, do you want to expand on that?
Yes, I can. The one other thing on this is the transmission. You must go to reverse the rotation of the engine, one for one rotor, one for two rotors. And in this, our Mirocopter model is quite simply done this with two belts and keep it simple and easy. So this was one of the main challenges in this. And the second, like Mark said, is to have as simple as possible swash plates and two rotor systems. Maybe one additional thing is that the rotor system is fully articulated, is not seesaw principle, and it's the yaw control. Yaw, I'm correct. Yeah, is controlled by the tail plates, and in the coax system configuration, the helicopter. When you go to auto rotation, you control the yaw with the tail plates. It's no other possibility. Hmm. Even if you have the differential collective system, like the big scale helicopters, you still need to use the tail plates for the maintain the direction.
Now, when I saw your helicopter, I noticed it only has one seat.
Yes.
And it looks very small. I mean, it's tiny. Why is that?
First of all, it was intention to build a small helicopter, not the smallest in the world, the footprint of the helicopter. It is a real coaxial helicopter, coaxial, and it is meeting the regulation of ultralight 103. No?
So it's designed to meet Part 103 as an ultralight vehicle.
Yes.
Wow. So point. Ultralight vehicles in the U.S. don't require a pilot certificate, but what does it take to fly something like your helicopter? I mean, what sort of training must one get?
The best option or the option even for the similar helicopters is to have a training on the two-seater for the training with the instructor, let's say 5 to 10 hours, and to get familiar with the helicopters and the basic aerodynamics and everything. And I, as my colleague said, because they are pilots of the normal helicopters or tail helicopters, it's much easier because you don't need to, when you start to fly, you don't need to take care of the yaw control. No? So it's only the collective first and then the cyclic, and then you can start to hover. Or
what inspired you to design and build this?
It's a long story, so I'm not so young anymore, but I'm not too old. But when I was really young, I live on 500 meters. There is the river down 400 meters dry down and there's another hill on the other side, like all Slovenia is. And I said that when I will be big boy, I will make a toy that I will fly to the other hill.
And, that, most kids build. Do that with a rope, but he's designing a helicopter.
So you literally spent your whole life dreaming about this and designing it in your mind.
Yeah, that not. I was only dreaming first. Then 12 years ago, I said, okay, my second company I work with electronics is working. And I said that now it's time to do even the helicopter if it was, I will succeed. And luckily, I did.
So you guys are obviously going to be here all week. Are you going to produce this helicopter in a kit form, or how is it going to be presented?
So that's a really great question, because it's not a kit. It actually, they build the helicopter in Slovenia, and then they fly it. So they test fly it to make sure it's all dialed in and working, tear it down, but not very much. Put it in one crate, and it's delivered to the customer with assembly instructions, and it takes about maybe 4 hours to put together. So a great example was, our customer in Korea, he had a customer in Korea that they put it together in the afternoon, and the next morning they flew it.
That's amazing, yeah. How many of these have you built so far?
So far, we purchased 5 helicopters, but you must have in mind that we start the production February this year.
Oh. Just February of this year? So you're less than a year old.
We have 4 more orders, but let's say if from the hobby will come something serious out, but we are ready for the serial production. So this was also the development went in this direction, that everything what was developed to be easy to produce. No?
And what's the price point of this helicopter?
So it costs $35,000, 15% deposit. It's a 4-month lead time, plus shipping. Shipping right now, unfortunately, is kind of expensive.
Yeah, but, for everything.
For everything. Yeah. But, that's the price point right now.
Wow. So that's pretty affordable when it comes to helicopters.
It is. I know you love helicopters,
I love
right,
helicopters. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the problem isn't necessarily just the purchasing the helicopter. It's the insurance industry here with helicopters is just crazy. You know, it's extremely cost prohibitive to own and fly helicopters here if you want to insure them.
I can imagine. Correct, yeah. What kind of engine do you have on the helicopter?
It's the MZ-202, which is the same one as on the Mosquito.
Okay, so it's a 2-cycle engine.
Yep, 60 horsepower.
Okay. How many gallons of gas then are on
board? So part 103 is 5 gallons
of
gas.
5 gallons, yep. Okay. So
and we can cruise at 50 miles per hour for 1 hour. So you get 4.5 gallons per hour really burn on the helicopter.
Yeah.
But it'll travel a lot faster than 50 miles per hour.
Oh, it will. It's just because it's restricted because of 103.
Right.
Is there a way to put it in normal category or experimental category?
Well, if they're factory built, then no. You could probably do something like experimental exhibition. Mm. Would be the category that you could get an airworthiness, and then you could put a 10-gallon tank on it or a bigger engine
and fly it faster.
Yeah,
you know, right. What would be the VNE if you weren't restricted by 103?
I think is it 70?
Would be, I can say in kilometers per hour. Can you calculate? Because I am from Europe, and this is. Yeah. Really, always the challenge to divide or to multiply in the number. What? and we are in the air, not on the sea, so it's a
metric. What's the VNE? The
not exceed. Is let's say that now it's written that it's 100 kilometer per hour,
okay,
because
so
of 60. The yeah 60,
60.
60 miles per hour. But this is with a lot of safety margin also.
Yeah, yeah. Now I noticed when I. The thing that struck me most when I came up and saw the helicopter was the large pulleys, and then you got 2 black belts on it. What is that about?
This is for the, as I mentioned before, for the transmission. But it's only one-step transmission to reduce the weight and to make this as simple as possible. Also, the tensioners are simple and classic, with no springs, with not automatic. Because you find out that if you really check regularly, the belt tensions is the most safety way to be the belts are tensioned, no? And even in case that is the rotors is also interesting, they are not synchronized, so one is spinning a little bit faster than the others, but it's
really?
Also on purpose to avoid this ground effect vibrations or this resonance effect.
Ground resonance, which is a big problem with, but isn't that normally with You have a fully articulating rotor system.
But again, I don't have the hydraulic dampers. I have the rubber dampers, and this is very prone to this ground resonance. Oh.
Which I've seen helicopters completely destroy themselves in ground resonance.
Wow. They go out of the balance, and it's
a really serious.
A lot of YouTube videos on that, and you're like, what the heck happened?
What happened there? You mentioned that your two rotors are standoff from one another, and there's a reason why the distance is what it is. What's that about?
The reason distance is that you have the most, lift effect from the, one is the lift effect. When you go over the some distance, you don't gain any more effect. And the second reason is that the two blades are not touching each other when you go opposite.
That direction would be a bad thing, I bet, if the blades touch each other. That'd probably be a bad day then.
It's amazing to me to think, how do they not? You know, it's just amazing technology, you know, that you've engineered into that, because you would think that they would, that they could. But you figured that out.
They're very, very stiff blades.
Okay.
That's very helpful when it comes to coaxial.
What are the blades made out of?
Aluminum. The leading edge is aluminum extrusion, and then the trailing part is aluminum with foam core.
So how do people get a hold of you if they are interested in the Rototrek?
Certainly. So rototrek.com, rototrek.com is my website, and I have all my contact information there. And our booth is booth 910-910. It's actually just next door to the person you were interviewing earlier.
Oh, yeah, Chris. Yeah, Badlands, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We're next to the windsocks.
Okay, the windsocks.
Yeah.
Man, do people have to pay extra to get next to the windsocks, too?
Bruce is a nice guy to be around.
That's right.
Desirable spot.
That's right. All right. Well, we've done it again. Gentlemen, thank you so much for sharing your design and your innovation with us down here at the Fun Fly Zone. And good luck to you in your endeavors here. And, Tim, we got to wrap it up again. It's been another year. It's already gone by.
Wow, this hour went fast.
I know.
Thank you for coming on down, Jay.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks a lot.
I love it down here. Thanks, guys. Jay Mutt G on the fly. You're listening to EAA Radio.